The following podcast is brought to you by the 99 Network, New Michigan's premier spot for all your local podcast needs.
Kill my
mind. Warning. This podcast has language of a mature nature. Spencer and Eddie don't know what they're talking about, and in no way should be taken seriously. They are idiots. In fact, this podcast should not be listened or viewed by anyone. But regardless, welcome to the Basement Bar. Beers and Babble. Cheers.
Start that, and then I'm going to start.
Oh, I love all that memorabilia. Hey, the Mackinac Bridge.
Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking if I turn this one light off, there won't be a glare. How did that work?
Oh, that works great. Yep.
That's better, isn't it? Yep. Yeah, I had a giant beer mirror collection. When I sold my house in Pinconning, I let it go with the house, most of the stuff, but I kept some of the better ones.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really cool.
I felt like were better, stuff. So.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, good. Absolutely. Well, hey, welcome to the Basement Bar Beers and Babble. We have an absolute wonderful show for you tonight. We have Marty Hornacek calling all the way from Tawas. Are you in Tawas now?
Correct? East Tawas, yes.
East Tawas,
yes.
That's right. I never know. He's a man of the world. He travels all around. So it's it was a wonder we were able to get him locked down here to be able to spend some time with us and tell some stories. So welcome, Marty.
Well, I'm glad to be with you fellas.
Thank you. We're happy to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is going to be a fun little episode. We get to know a lot about you and a lot about what you said. So,
yep.
So we usually start out, but we don't know. I don't know if you're a big music fan, but are you?
Yes, I listen to music all the time. And my favorite, we've got a couple favorites we listen to, but I usually, you're going to laugh. I listen to 99.5 out of Key West, Florida, the Whale FM.
Okay.
The DJs on there are just crazy, and I just love them. And it's all classic rock.
Nice.
And it's all about our, you know, where we live for 7 months down there. And it's so funny. The last week, I had a couple guys here fishing with me, and they're listening, and they're like, a low tonight's going to be 82 degrees, and the high tomorrow's 90. What station do you have on? Like, well, it isn't around here.
Yeah,
that's for darn sure. But and then we listen. I don't know if you guys have ever listened to this. I think Cousin Eddie has when we fish. But Stick Figure, we just love listening to him. Oh
yes.
My gosh, his music is so cool. And then I got another one, Steel Drums, that I love. That all that Caribbean type thing. But Stick Figure has really he's become very popular, and he plays some really good tunes.
Nice.
So. A lot of times we're out in the boat, we'll Bluetooth that. And my one buddy that I fish with a lot has got one of those Starlink systems on his boat. So you can go anywhere in the world and have cell phone reception.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So,
wow, that's
really
nice.
Which works out really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is good. But and the weather up here in East Tawas is a lot different than you have in Bay City. We went to a baseball game for my grandson last night over to down there in South. It's called the Southwest Little League, I think is what they call themselves. Okay. And it's always 10 or 15 degrees warmer there than it is up here.
Hmm.
And we were out fishing last Saturday. We were out fishing. We were up off Sable Point, and we caught nice lake trout up there, but the water temperature, guys, down below is 42 degrees. I couldn't freaking believe it.
Wow.
Dang.
That it was that cold.
Yeah.
And the surface was 45, and then you get into the inner bay here in Tawas where we live, the water's about 57, 58 right now.
Okay.
Because the water's trapped in here. But you get out around the point in the Lake Huron, and the water is just bitter, bitter cold out there. And so we were catching lake trout in 35 foot of water.
Dang.
And the downside to cold, cold water out in the Great Lakes is that the fish are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's no concentration of them. But the fishing's good. The walleye fishing has subsided a lot up here. It was just on fire 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
But the
oh, yeah.
bait fish have moved somewhere, and no one's really found them.
No.
And the lake, the walleye that you catch up here in Tawas, between Augre and Tawas, and then out north of North Charity's right out our front window, we see it when the humidity's low, is the walleye are a lot bigger than you find in Saginaw Bay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're averaging... 3 to 7 pounds is an average fish, and then you'll get a lot of big lunkers too.
Wow.
Okay. And you never have to measure one up here to see if they're big enough to catch. But the weather has not been kind. The Sunday, we were socked in so bad. We were going out fishing Sunday, and we got up at 4:30 to go. We didn't go anywhere because you couldn't see 100 foot. And I've got radar and FLIR, that infrared camera system, on my boat.
Yeah.
But it is just too dangerous to go out when you don't have to go out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we can see people, but most people don't have that. So you have to avoid them running into you.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got that app on my phone called Marine Traffic. I don't know if you've ever used
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really cool. And I keep track of the freighters out here because they go right by Tawas Point. They go head up when they're going into Bay City.
Oh, cool.
And you want to be because if a 1,000-foot ship's coming, you kind of want to know it.
Oh, 100%.
That it's coming. and then the radar will ping off them. But it's a whole different world. My buddies down in Cudgel, where we lived there, just outside Key West, I sent them pictures and told them how cold the water was. And I was talking with one of them last night, Kevin, and he's like, "Are you kidding me?" And we had our winter coats on, and I've got a great big coyote hat I wore. And I mean, it was freezing cold out there when the wind blows off the water.
Oh yeah.
You got 45 degree water. You don't have your air temperatures probably down mid 30s when the wind's blowing.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'm glad they're biting up there because I've gotten my line wet about 3 times on the Saginaw Bay and I've been skunked every time. I haven't caught anything unless we're fishing inlet rivers up in Michigan, up north, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the Saginaw, I mean, over down here by Bay City, I've got nothing. I think I pulled out one about 13, 14 inch smallmouth, and that's about it. Uh-huh. And other than that, I've just been skunked, and I'm like, what is happening? And I called my buddy John, and he goes, yeah, they're just not biting. He's like, you need to get out there. And glad to hear that they're actually biting in Tawas. That's a good thing.
And I apologize. Yeah. This is Spencer Smeagol. This is my brother-in-law.
How you doing, Marty?
Oh, okay. Nice. I know. Nice. We just kind of started talking.
He talks fishing. That's my language.
So I know, Spencer's the angler of the family.
Spencer, by any chance, John isn't the paramedic up here at Tawas, is he?
No.
Different John?
Yeah, it's a different John. He's stationed in Standish, Michigan right now.
Yeah, John Asel.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. No, and I had a very, you guys will find this very interesting. Dana and Jerry Serafin have the commercial fishing rights all up and down the shoreline here. Well, Dana's a good, they're both good friends of mine, but I spoke with Dana for about 45 minutes the other day, and he just got his nets in. He's got 7 nets off Tawas for whitefish.
Okay.
And they started about 100 foot of water. They got 1800 foot leads going into the traps. And he said, because I mentioned to him about the walleye, like, disappeared. And he said, I can tell you why. He said, there's no bait in the bay. The bait is gone.
Okay.
And he said, the DNR has been warning us for 10 years that the day of reckoning is coming, because when the walleye, there's too many walleye in the bay. The DNR estimated, he told me, and I don't know what year this was, they estimated there could be 10 million walleye in Saginaw Bay. And he said, at some point, they're going to eat everything up there.
Yep.
And he sent me over some reports and things that because he goes to all the fishery meetings and councils and that. But he said, yeah, it's but the good news is we call them silverfish up here.
Okay.
The lake trout, the steelhead, the Atlantic salmon, and even a few Chinook salmon have wandered over from Canada. But the silverfish fishing up here has become very, very good fishing up here. And you can go offshore when the water warms up. You'll get what's called the thermocline, where you'll get that 10-15 degree temperature break, usually about 50 feet down. and all the plankton in that hangs around there. So what bait fish there are hang in that thermocline, and then all the big fish come to eat them.
Okay.
So very, very interesting. But I got to tell you, the other day, I won't mention his name, but one of the charter guys here called me from up here. He texted me, actually, and he said, "Hey, Marty, have you been out fishing?" And I'm like, "Yep." And he said, "Have you found any walleye anywhere?" And I'm like, "Nope." I says, "We started going after silverfish instead." And he said, "Well, if you find them, let me know." And another guy I know that fishes all the time had went and ran off a Linwood, and they picked up walleye, but they were real little, and they were all males.
Okay.
And he said, a lot of them, we had to measure them to see if they're even big enough to keep. But I think when the water warms up some, I think the bait will come back. And I noticed we're at Tawas Bay Yacht Club over here, and I noticed for the first time yesterday that there was big shiner minnows in the yacht club, and I saw a lot of the great big smallmouth bass in there getting ready to make their spawning beds. And interesting thing too up here, I don't know if they're all that color, but the great big smallmouths that you see up here catch are really, really black. They're real dark fish.
Ooh.
And I don't know if that's because of where they live or what they eat, but very, very interesting. And a lot of northern pike up here, big pike.
Just a lot of Oreos. They're just people people from shore, they're feeding them Oreos. That's why they're turning
it
up.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. So, man, all that walleye, 10 million walleye, man. So Freeland with the Walleye Fest, they're doing the Lord's work then, man. We got to eat them all.
I'm pulling them out.
Right. And that's why they up the limit, and they also drop the size limit. They're trying to thin them out.
Yeah, they are.
But they're just reproducing too fast.
Oh, yeah. It's hard for us to keep up. Our stomachs are so big.
The rabbits of the sea.
Well, Marty, just getting to know you, I kind of want to know who you are. Like, Eddie obviously knows, but I kind of want to know, like, a little bit of your backstory. So you're down in Key West, where you live, I'm sure, during the cold months, and now you're up in Tawas. So where did you come from? Are you from the Bay City area? Are you Pinconning? Mentioned that.
Originally, we lived in Flint, Michigan. I graduated from Flint Beecher High School.
Okay.
Okay.
And ironically, I was going to be a commercial airlines pilot of all things.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, nice. That's cool.
And I started flying when I was 15 years old. I soloed on my 16th birthday.
Wow.
I went to college when I was in high school to get my private pilot's degree.
So could you fly a plane before you could drive?
Absolutely. Yes,
that's awesome. Yep. That's such a cool thing
you're
to say.
Right. I flew out of Flint Bishop Airport there, and I was going to Western Michigan University in 1971, and they called us all down there and said, you might not want to take this curriculum due to the fact that the Vietnam War is getting over and there's thousands of pilots coming back with thousands of hours in the air.
The job source is going to be low.
So, I ended up in Pinconning. Mom and dad were building a grocery store in Pinconning called Penny Food Center. And that opened in 1971. And I ended up in Pinconning and lived there until 3.5 years ago, 2021.
Wow. Okay.
So,
dang, that's cool.
The Penny Food Center, and then in 1999, my brother and I, Tom, bought Gujan Brothers out of Bay City. They had the world famous West epoxy system for marine uses.
Okay.
We bought their factory they had in Pinconning that was abandoned. They had leased it to a gentleman that was making wind turbine blades, and this was in 1999, and they were wood laminated. And something went wrong, and the guy went bankrupt, and the building was locked up, and it was in court for several years getting it cleaned up. But we ended up buying it from them and opened a company called Northwoods Wholesale Outlet in Pinconning.
So
I just want to stop you there, Marty.
Northwoods is phenomenal.
That is my favorite store on the planet.
Well, thank you.
I absolutely love it. Anytime that me and my friends have to go camping, anytime we need to pick up something that we like to do, which is anything outdoors, we have to stop in Northwoods first.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody listening, I just want to let you know that we have the one and the only, the perfect dude, the owner of Northwoods, the smart genius man that made a store perfect for the outdoors and affordable for everybody.
That's the biggest thing.
I can't thank you enough. That just makes me blush that you're on here.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a lot of fun there. And 3.5 years ago, I sold it. And okay. So I haven't been back since then.
Well, they're still holding tradition. Northwoods is still a great place.
Yeah. Oh,
good,
yeah.
Good.
It was real nice when we were down in Key West and everything around. You know, you look at the chairs, the koozies, the towels, everything was Northwoods.
Yep.
The big Michigan chairs as the boats roll by.
I
like,
love that.
Like, oh, it was so cool.
Every fishing pole I own is from that store.
Like, yeah.
Every,
oh, good,
shit, every
good.
Lure in my tackle box is from Northwoods.
Yeah.
Good. Yep,
yeah. Our Spencer's parents here, we have a big... fire pit, like a rolly fire pit out there we got from Northwoods.
Yes.
Real nice.
Yep. Yep.
And yep. I bet if Roger was here, he'd be asking, be like, "How? All right, can you go in there and get me that Sasquatch standing out
front?"
Oh,
he wants the Sasquatch so bad. He's like, one day I'm buying that thing, putting it out in the woods.
Yep. That's his favorite
thing.
Yeah,
it's funny how many times I've been in Key West. Mona and I were there right just before New Year's out in Key West. We were at the Schooner Wharf Bar, and a
great
young
bar.
Couple noticed my shirt that I had on, a Northwoods shirt with all the fish on it. And he come up and he said, "Are you from Michigan?" Well, make a long story short, the guy used to work for a company that tracks techs that sold us rod holders and the plates for your gunnels.
Oh, no
your
kidding.
Boats.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah. And then he was a charter captain out of Frankfort. And I believe it was Manistee. I don't think it was Ludington, but for years until COVID came along. You know, and then they couldn't run a charter boat because you couldn't have more than one person in a boat.
Yeah.
So he changed professions. But it's funny how many people you run into that are like, "Oh, you from Michigan?" And of course, what does everybody do there? "Well, where do you live at?" And you put your hand up to show them.
Yep,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're right about there. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
But, But Jess, I'm finally able to do fishing as much as I want to do it, pending the weather. But the nice thing about when you're retired from not working every day, you don't have to fish on days where the weather's not good.
Yeah. I wish weather was the only thing in my way from fishing. Now it's usually like, "I want to go fishing." "Oh, you got to go to work." "I want to go fishing." "Well, you have to go to bed." It's like, man, I just want to go fishing.
Yeah.
But I tell you what's the end of Johnson here in Bay City. My buddy John, who I was talking about, and him and another buddy of mine, we call Bones, they do a thing that we like to call Midwest Choppers. And basically, you go to the end of Johnson Road, and it's the pier there, and you fish for catfish all night long. Oh, you pull the bat. You have six rods in the water at one time, and I guarantee three of them are going to go off in the next 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely wonderful.
Well, now you gave away your spot.
Well, no. I tell you what, you can pull catfish all night long, and there's still plenty more. I mean, catfish in the Sag, it's just crazy.
See, I've only been fishing twice. And the second time, the most recent time, was with Marty and Mona and Jason and my wife down in Key West.
That's right.
Marty was kind enough to take us deep sea fishing, and that was an absolute blast. It was wild. The day was perfect. We went about 100 miles out. Like,
was
it
was
that crazy.
The story that you and Jason had to get out the oars to push? Was that that?
Oh, that wasn't the same day. That was a different day. We took the pontoon boat out to the Martin Key.
Marvin Key.
Yeah.
Marvin Key, and the tide was in the wrong direction.
Oh. Yeah, and the poor boat bottomed out, so we had to get these poles and row ourselves back into deeper waters.
Some things you got to do what you got to do, or you're stuck there. So.
Yeah, it's a whole different world out there when you go on the bay side of the Overseas Highway, because there's hundreds of islands. The beaches are just... like better than anything in the Caribbean, and the sand is so beautiful.
Yeah.
But you got to watch the tides.
Yeah.
Because when the tide goes out, the water disappears. And you want to make sure you're either where you want to be or where you're going when the tides change. So you learn real quick that you got to watch that.
But
it's a whole different animal down there than what up here. You don't have to worry about it.
Nope.
Yeah,
you're in a lake. You're in a lake.
Yeah,
no, water has nowhere to go.
It was perfect, man. We were the only ones in the ocean grilling Kogel Viennas.
Oh,
yep, that's right.
Marty,
we take Kogel Viennas frozen down there, boy. Everybody's like, "Boy, does that smell good?"
You're like,
a little gas grill on the pontoon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You go, but
nice.
Yeah, the last trip out, Eddie, was April. I don't know, 19th or 20th, somewhere in the 23rd. And my brother and my cousin and two brothers that live right there in Cudjoe that actually take care of our house for us when we're gone and watch things.
Okay.
They're both sea captains, licensed captains. and they sail yachts for people, and they'll fly them somewhere and sail a yacht 1,000 miles or wherever for them. But we were out there.
Wow.
We caught ginormous fish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We got a wahoo that was over 6 foot long. The thing was a beast.
Jeez.
And I got a Warsaw grouper that was as big as I am.
Oh, that's the thing, is to pull in a grouper. Yeah. Oh, that would be wow, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And we were 85 miles south-southwest of Key West. And so out there, you can keep certain species out there that you can't keep when you're closer to shore up in the Gulf of Mexico. And we just had a ball that day. We caught tuna, and then we caught, and we were fishing. The shallowest we fished was 500 foot right on the bottom. And we were using these big 300-gram jigs, which is 10 ounces.
The shallowest they fish.
And banging them off the bottom. But you pull a fish that big from 500 foot out with a small rod, and we were using spinning rods. It was just – we just had a great time. And we also caught tilefish, yellow-edged grouper, snowy grouper. I think there was some. Oh, and I caught a great big eel from 500 foot down.
Oh,
that was creepy.
Yeah, those things can't be fun when you pull them up. Oh,
no, no,
yikes.
No. But and then the other one that we just had a blast with was cobia this winter. And I'll try to hold this up for you. I don't know if you can see it or not, but we got a cobia this winter.
Dang.
That was 73 pounds.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was just a beast.
Yeah, that's a beauty. Wow.
It is. That was. And boy, are they good eating.
I bet. Yeah.
Really like, they're like eating a pork loin almost. That's all there. Here is that, right when we were bringing it over the side of the boat, that wahoo.
Wow, look at that.
Just a beast of
gorgeous. Look at the colors on them.
And in my estimation, that is as good eating. My favorite eating fish is swordfish.
Really?
And
okay.
They come, usually you get them about 1,800 foot down out there, just south of our house. But that wahoo, oh my gosh, you put that on the Blackstone grill, and I season it all up good with everything but the bagel and, seasonings. And then I grill it in lemon oil. And have never had anything better tasting in your life.
Oh.
And I did the grouper and everything that way, even tilefish. And then we, just before that, those big fish, and even the cobia, just before when they're almost done, I put butter on them and let that melt into the fish. And oh my gosh, it's almost sinful eating them. They are so good. Oh,
well, I tell you what, amazing. When you get back down to Key West, I'll be over on a random Tuesday. I'll drive 22 hours down there. And slap the butter on when I'm about 15 minutes out, and we'll get after it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that sounds great. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Kobe,
some of
that'd be fun to,
the fish are so big and thick meat on them that I've tried deep frying. We usually deep fry a lot of fish.
Okay.
They're not as good as when you grill them. When you grill them, they're so much better.
Oh, yeah, I got that little smell.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, can we talk about the shrimp boats, or is that a trade secret?
Oh, I was just going to tell you. No, that's fine. No,
okay.
The shrimp, the other favorite thing is I take two, either 18 or 24 packs of beer with me, a bottle of some real, real expensive whiskey bourbon, half gallons for $18, ha ha,
nice.
And a carton of Marlboro cigarettes and 12 packs of Coca-Cola.
Okay.
And you go out, we usually start hitting the shrimp boats about 50 miles out, 55 miles out. Now, they're northwest of Key West, out to the Gulf of Mexico. They work, the shrimp guys, they trawl the bottom all night long when it's dark out. When it gets dark out, the sun sets, the shrimp come out of the sand and the mud off the bottom, and they eat. That's how they catch them.
Okay.
The minute the sun rises in the morning, the shrimp go right back into the mud and the sand at the bottom, and just their feelers and their eyeballs are sticking out. That's all you see of them. And so the shrimpers pull their nets up at daybreak, and they anchor up, and then they've got their deck just loaded with whatever they pulled up in their nets, and they clean it. Then we trade them for what's called bycatch. It's all the stuff they get, then you use that as chum that they can't keep. And it's all, of course, it's all dead, everything yeah. they've got. And we use that to throw over the side of the boat, chop it up, use it for
it's
chum.
Like little fish.
It brings all the fish around you.
Crazy yep. stuff.
Nice.
Yep, it is. The things you see are just crazy that you pull out of there. And usually, generally speaking, when we're with the shrimp guys, if you can find a boat that's been out there 2 or 3 weeks, they are desperate for alcohol and cigarettes. They love their cigarettes. And of all things, Coca-Cola. They just love Coke.
But, yeah.
And usually you'll get three of those big onion sacks, 50 pounds full of fresh caught Gulf shrimp.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
We got
so
we
you
got
can trade them
so
for good
much.
Stuff. Yeah.
It was like $2,500 yep. worth of shrimp. It was yep. wild. We had so many big bags.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then yep. Jason, Marty, and I cut them up and freezer bagged them and everything.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was a wild yep.
system. Did you enjoy some at least?
Oh, yes. Yeah. They're good. Yeah. Winn-Dixie grocery stores down there, they carry a powder. It's called a garlic butter shrimp boil.
Okay.
And you put that in water, boil the shrimp. Once you get the water boiling and you drop the shrimp in, it usually only takes 3 or 4 minutes and they're done.
Okay.
And then
okay.
we dump them out and throw ice cubes or something on them.
Yeah.
And then you can peel them off. And then I have the guys from Michigan, when they come down, they go to Meijer and get that St. Elmo's hot sauce. I don't know if you've ever had that yep. cocktail sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And that stuff is, we call it Polish cocaine.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly
you
what that
take
is.
That and, I mean, it just takes your breath away.
Yeah, when Christmas Eve, we used to do it at my grandparents' house, and it's on my dad's side, so big Polacks, which is a bunch of Polacks.
Yeah.
And
yep.
we always had, I would say, probably at least 10, 15 pounds of shrimp down there, because every Smeagol man loves shrimp. And that's yeah. the exact cocktail sauce we'd have, a huge ass jug of it. And you go into town on it. And by the end of the night, both bowls were clear and the cocktail sauce was just wiped with the last one. You know, I mean, now that stuff is good. You're right
it
by
is,
saying
it
it's
is.
Polish cocaine, because you get some Polacks drinking and eating that stuff's going to be gone.
Yeah, and it just takes your breath away when you first start eating it. It's like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a head rush right now, and it's gone.
Yep, exactly. And you're like, okay, back for another.
Yep. But you can't buy it, of course, anywhere down there, and you can't get Kogel hot dogs down south. So we always take Kogel hot dogs, and then the guy here in Tawa City, Friel's Market, he grinds pure Kogel bologna.
Ooh.
And makes sandwich spread out of it.
Oh,
with
yeah.
sweet pickle relish and Miracle Whip.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh, is it good? So we always freeze all kinds of that up and take that with us, too.
Mm.
Nice.
And where is that?
That
at?
Is so good.
He said in East Tawa.
Friel's Market. It's on the south end of Tawa City.
Okay.
It's right almost the Lodge restaurant is the last restaurant in Tawas going south. And it's almost just up the street from them. But they've got good. And he packs Kogel hot dogs up for me. I'll buy like the 10-pound boxes of the Viennas. And he'll vacuum pack them and freeze them all for me so they're ready to go down.
Oh, nice.
But
so you guys have
what, can't buy a decent hot dog in Florida either. That's the other thing they don't have.
So, Kogel's ain't a bad bet.
Oh yeah, that's
so
the best.
No.
Oh, man.
Can't beat a Kogel's.
You're right about that.
Oh,
yeah,
and especially the ground up stuff. I might have to take a trip up there this next week to grab a bag. Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
The weird thing in Florida, out in the Florida Keys this winter, is we usually would go 26 miles west to the Marquesas Islands, Marquesas Keys.
Okay.
And nobody lives there. It's just a giant mangrove trees and whatnot. It's all birds and things. And we'd cast net for what's called pilchards. They kind of look like a Michigan alewife is what they look like.
Okay.
And the tuna just love them. We all winter long for 3 months, almost 4 months, we couldn't find them. And I mean, we went everywhere looking for them. One day, I think we ended up with maybe 100 of them. And they were little bitty guys, which are too small, but nobody knows what happened to them or where the heck they went. And they're one of your favorite baits. Or the other bait you use down there, a lot is called a pinfish. It looks just like bluegill here in Michigan.
Oh, gotcha.
And
okay.
You got a big steel, a big wire trap. You put a 8-pound frozen chum block in it, throw it over the side of the boat in a grassy area. Oh, sometimes it's 6-8 foot deep. And you come back the next morning, the thing will be full of them.
Really?
And you put those in a live well, and they work really good for big fish.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing I don't know much about is I'm a good Michigan fisherman. I'm a good up north fisherman. Okay, I know what I got to throw. If not, I got my buddy John to give a call.
Rivers and lakes.
I have no idea how to rock the salt life. I have no idea how to fish in the salt.
It was wild.
It's just weird. It's a whole different. Setup you got to use, I'm a bait caster kind of guy. That's what I rock with.
Right.
And then I got my tackle box full of lures. And if I really, really am itching to catch something, I'm throwing live bait. Oh, hey, Raj, how's it going?
Welcome, Raj.
I believe you were correct. Raj walked in, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Hi, Raj. This is Marty.
Hold on one second. Headphones on. There
All right,
are.
Go ahead and talk.
Hi, Raj. This is Marty. How are you tonight?
There you go.
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Just talking about all kinds of fishing everywhere from here to 1,800 miles south of here. So,
do you know that Eddie's Uncle Marty, he's the reason that Northwoods is a thing.
Yeah, you did know
that. So I thought you were going to barter with him for that Sasquatch.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to barter. I'm going to cut the deck. We're going to cut the deck, and whoever gets the highest gets one. free of charge, delivered, set up, everything.
Delivered, set up, everything.
Well, hey, this is a perfect time. Raj and Marty can get acquainted, and we're going to do Beer of the Week.
Beer of the Week.
Oh, good idea.
Beer.
I'd have a beer.
Give me a hell yeah.
Beer of the Week.
Well, why are you doing
that? That'll be interesting.
While you're pouring that, did you know that you really don't wash your hands? I was thinking about this. You don't wash your hands.
Okay.
You watch one wash the other.
Oh, jeez. Good one, Raj. Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, that's kind of the truth, though.
It is.
Yeah. I got to ask you guys, when you do the Beer of the Week, have you ever done Chimay?
No, we have not.
That's handcrafted by Belgian monks.
Ooh,
wow.
And it's really high alcohol, and is it smooth?
Really?
Dang.
You're going to have to find
it. I actually found it in the Publix grocery store down there, had it by Key West, and so I bought it, and we had drank. My brother and I used to fish with these two retired priests, and they got us hooked onto it. And I think one of them, there's a blue and a red label, and I want to say one is maybe 8% and the other one's 11%.
Okay.
And it's really good beer. If you ever get a chance to try it, it's Chimay, Chimay.
Okay. Imay.
Yep. Imay. Right. It is really good beer.
Heck yeah. Well, tonight we are trying out Lobster Stuffed with Tacos.
Holy cow.
From Fair State Brewing Company in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey,
I was there.
It is a 13% ABV.
It sounds like a great sounds like a great meal, not a beer.
Yeah, lobster stuffed
with tacos.
That's
exactly what it is, yeah.
And I want to say shout out thank you to the girls at the Salzburg Ideal Party Store, where we get all of our fancy beers. They're going to be listening to the show. I wish I would have got their names.
Great.
But cheers.
Well, cheers. Cheers, cheers, cheers.
Good. Cheers to you.
Oh, that's smooth. I like the burn. I like the burn a little bit.
That's good.
I don't get a lobster or a taco worth of shit, but
I do get a little bit of lobster.
See,
truthfully.
I just get like, is that bourbon aged or?
Yeah, it's a bourbon barrel aged stout.
Yeah, see, that's all I taste. It's just the bourbon and the stout, but that's really good.
There is a little bit of like, a little bit of fishy lobster. Yeah. It's weird how it actually kind of works.
Yeah. You know what?
It kind of does work.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give that guy, a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah, 3.75 for me.
3.75? Okay. Yeah. Follow us on the Untappd app. I am Fuzzy Lumpkus, and you can share the beers with us.
I'd rather eat lobster and tacos.
Yeah, Roger. Yes, Roger's not one for the craft beers. He likes his Coors Light. Yeah,
they make fish tacos. Why not make lobster tacos?
You probably could. You got to go to a fancy place. Well, that bar QBC downtown, they do all the fun tacos and stuff. Maybe we can get them to do a lobster one.
Yeah.
But. Oh. Sorry. I was not prepared.
So, we got beer trivia coming up. So, usually after beer of the week, we like to ask like a beer question.
All right, here we go.
So, Eddie, you usually ask the beer trivia, so go on ahead.
Beer trivia.
Now, Marty, Roger, me, we're all in contention, so we can answer. Eddie cannot, obviously, because he's reading this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beer trivia. It's a type of beer intertwined with the history of porters. It's also a word in the dictionary that can mean bulky, brave, or resolute. What is it?
Uh-huh.
Bighorn.
No. I'll give you a hint. It's the type of beer we tried tonight.
Oh, it's a stout.
It is stout. Yes. Bulky, brave, or resolute. Stout.
Stout. Huh. Big guy, yeah.
Yeah.
He's all a stout right. guy.
Darn.
Yeah. I love it because we started doing
stupid
it when
question.
We did when we did live shows. We've done a few live shows down at Pintown, and and we've done the beer trivia, and we give away a prize for the beer trivia. So we just kind of we like it. We have guests on and everything, it's fun to ask the questions. But what do we got?
I do want to ask a really cool question.
Oh yeah.
Now I've heard your house is beautiful down in Key West, and it. You know,
and
like
Tawa. Well, I mean, everything. Yeah. Marty does everything in style. It's very nice.
Of course.
He's very classy act.
I love the fishing poles on the roof. I saw the ceiling picture. I was like, cool.
The bar. I sent him a picture of the bar.
The
there.
Bar.
Yeah.
And I just kind of want to know. Everyone's got like that cool garage feel. What does a good garage need in it? Like, what's your opinion on like if I have a garage that I want to hang out in? What does it have to have in it?
Well,
a beer
I'll
fridge.
I'll tell you this
for you to be cool.
Yep. That we've got a tiki bar in our garage here, and it rocks.
Up in Tawas, you got a tiki bar,
yeah,
huh?
In Tawas. Yeah, nice. In Tawas, I do. And I got one glass door cooler that's full of all beer. And then
smart.
A freezer next to it's full of fish and shrimp. And then the other refrigerator's got pop and soda water and tonic, stuff like that. And, of course, got it. Tito's is my number one go-to drink. So
you're a Tito's guy, huh? What do you mix Tito's with, or is it just Tito's?
Diet Cran Cherry, zero carbs.
Ooh, and all right.
It's good.
So you ain't gaining anything other than a buzz, huh?
That's right. Yeah, and you can do that. And I got to tell you guys, the Tito's down there between Winn-Dixie and Publix, they're always having big sales. The half gallon handle of Tito's is almost $20 less than it is up here.
Holy
wow.
shit.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
We bought those down there at the Winn-Dixie liquor store all winter long. They had them on sale. You buy four bottles at a time and you got an extra 10 off on them. And we were buying them for $26 down there.
Well, did you bring them up here? Or you were like, we got to stock Tawas too.
Michigan's
state controlled, so it's the same price anywhere
right.
you go and all that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The taxes up here are really high on liquor compared to down there.
Yes. Oh, I bet.
All the sin tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah, I agree. Beer fridge is number one. Yep. Got to have a nice beer fridge. I think dartboard. I think a dartboard works real well for a garage.
It does.
Because you could still, even if you're using the garage functionally, like you can fit your car and whatever in there,
right.
you still have something. Yeah. Music, some type of stereo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Sonos music system.
Yeah, Sonos is very good.
Yep. Oh, man, they are excellent.
I haven't ventured into that much, but if I was going for a music, like surround sound or anything like that, or just really anything, I just naturally go to Bose.
Yeah.
I remember the one thing that'll make me remember this the most is I was like, when I was younger, I wanted a pair of nice headphones. And we went to the store, and I had my Christmas money, and I knew exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be like every other kid that I went to school with. Stupid mistake.
I wanted Beats by Dre.
Oh.
And we're sitting there and we're listening garbage. To him, and my dad's sitting there, and I was like, isn't this great? And he goes, no. He goes, these suck. And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, well, try put on these Bose. And not only were the Bose so much better, I just loved the color of the Beats, so I ended up buying the Beats. Worst purchase I've ever made. I wish I would have went with, but I wish I would have listened to my father in that point in time.
Yeah.
He was like, pioneer of Bose right now. That's what you need. And right. I was like, I don't want to go to school with Bose. And he's like, well, go to school with these shitty Beats that you paid $100 way too much for. And I was like, damn.
Well, and the nice thing about Sonos is we've got them all over our house.
Yeah.
Because
they
work off Wi-Fi.
Interconnect,
So we've got some out by the lake and some in the garage and one in the house. And you can put it, and then you can control the sound into right on your telephone or the app. You know, whatever station. And of course, I listen to 99.5 out of Key
the
West.
Whale. Yeah.
Or Stick Figure. But yeah, that's a really good set. The other thing you got to have in your man cave is I've got a 12-foot long, used to be in a meat cutting room for cleaning fish, one of them big tables with a poly tabletops on it. Stainless steel table.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to have a big fish cleaning table.
Oh, you do. So, you do. Yep. You got to have something. It works for everything, including your fish. Yeah. You got your drinks. You got anything.
That's right.
Well, the one thing that I love a garage, but I love a pole barn even more.
Well, it's bigger. There's more room.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're going to go pole barn, then you got to have a golf simulator.
Well, a pole barn, you got to have a golf simulator. But like Raj, like we have plans for that pole barn out there. Shit, he's got 3 workbenches. I was like, there is no way you're using that one in the back. We need to make that a bar. I was like, we need to make one of them a bar.
We could make it
a
bar.
Well, the one that's like underneath the loft?
Yeah.
Make that the chill area with the bar in it? Oh, shit.
You get your shit out of here and we could.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'm currently working on it. I don't even got a garage. I have a basement. That's all I have. I'm trying to work with the city to put a shed up, and they're giving me a hard time.
You do it on a holiday weekend.
Oh. There you go.
Well, don't feel bad about your shed, because we finally, after waiting for 6 months, got one built down there. But we had to build it hurricane-proof. And what I mean by that is we had to put – the shed is only 10 by 12. But to be legal with code down there, we had to drill 4 holes on the ground, into the ground, 16 inches in diameter.
Jesus.
And down 5 feet down. And then the thing was
Christ,
just
you were putting in
just
fence poles in that.
Oh yeah, it was crazy. And here I got to show you a picture of this Warsaw grouper I pulled out of 500 foot of water. There he is.
Oh,
right,
geez,
there
it is.
Wow.
That's
the grouper.
It was the size of what
that's
I
a big
was
fish.
Yeah. And I brought that up on a spinning rod.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
That was the best part.
Yeah, see,
were you tied in? How the hell did you get that?
Yeah, you're a better man than I am. I almost died bringing that shark in.
Yep, I get used to it. It don't bother you at all. And then here, guys, is what's called a yellow edge grouper. Really, not too many people have ever caught one.
Oh, wow.
And they've
got
a yellow edge all the way around that fish. It's got a yellow edge on. They're just beautiful when they come out of the water.
Yeah, they are. Wow. Do groupers fight much, or are they kind of like catfish where they're just
they
fight
good.
Do they?
And unless if you don't get them off the bottom, then something else is going to eat them.
Oh, Jesus.
So you really got to reef on them, get them up off the bottom.
It's kind of scary that you think a grouper that big of a fish can get eaten by something else. Holy
shit. Well, my brother Tom was with me that day, and he had one on in 500 foot of water. For an hour and a half, he fought that thing.
Jesus. I like a good fight, but my fight's last like
15 minutes.
And we ended up, he got down into the rock and stuff down there and cut the line. And we lost it. So then we took a reel reel's like almost a foot wide. And it had a 200-pound test line on it. And we hooked a three-pound yellow eye snapper to it, dropped it down, and had a fish on instantly.
Yeah.
And we couldn't budge it with that giant reel. And that reel was hooked right in the gunwale of the boat, and we couldn't move that fish.
That's funny. 200-pound test. So you know what I just slapped on my bait caster the other day, and I thought it was too much? 20-pound test.
Yeah, right?
Oh, did you? Oh,
well,
yeah.
I tell you what, there was it was like 4 years. I was skunked for about 2 years up here. This year, I'm just finally starting to get on fish, and I got that itch. I want to go out every day. But, God, I would say about 3 or 4 years ago, we were up north at a place, Muskellunge Lake, up in the UP. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Marty, but yeah, Muskellunge Lake.
Way up to the west,
Yep. So we're up there or whatever, and we're sitting in the middle, and I got this topwater frog in the middle of open water. I had no business doing it. A pike grabs onto me. John's next to me, and I'm like, holy shit, fish on it, whatever. And it starts dragging me.
Really?
And John goes, holy shit, you got a trolling motor on you. I was like, yeah. He goes, go over to the edge there. I was like, I can't control it. So it's pulling me. That was a maybe 15, 30-minute fight, but that was fun. It was a nice-sized pike, and it was a good time. I thought it was going to be a muskie, though. I was really excited. Muskellunge Lake, there's a lot of muskie in there. No, it ended up being a pike, but John was excited for me. It was the first time I ever caught a pike. I was like, holy shit, you know, but
nice. It
was just funny to be in a kayak and having it pulling me like, oh, look at this, you know, and my kayak's just following it. And I was like, how do I reel this in? And he goes, like this, like this, man.
Hey, Mark, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
Boy, I'm not sure.
You call it a shh.
I like it.
That's funny.
Hey, if you guys know somebody that wants one heck of a fishing boat, I'm selling my big boat. I don't even think I doubt I've got 75 hours on the motors, but it's sitting at Inland Marine in Au Gray. It's a North Coast 285. It's 32 foot long, 10 wide, 2 300 Yamahas.
Whoa,
on it.
Jesus.
And it's got four Canon, Digitrol, saltwater downriggers. It's loaded with everything on it.
I'll tell you what, I'll throw you $1,200.
Yeah.
it's got infrared camera and radar and you name it. We bring our Florida boat back now, our Cobia, and it's the same size, but it's a center console. I can run that thing out of the marina over here at Tawas Bay Yacht Club myself, because you can walk all around the inside of the boat yourself.
Oh, nice.
When you come into the dock to tie up to the dock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to have dock hands out there to get you tied up.
So how much are you selling your boat for? How much
do
you want for it?
I got $4 in my wallet.
Right now, a brand new one identical to this would be way over $400,000.
Holy cow.
And we're right now I'm asking $250 for it.
$250,000.
Okay. I like this is the basement.
$2.50, $2.50. I got it. I'll take it.
There you go.
I like this is the basement bar buy seller trade. Yeah. This is great.
It's a perfect charter boat, and like they said, it's made in Rhode Island. In fact, the brochure where they make them, they show a 500-pound bluefin tuna coming over the side of the thing out there.
Oh, wow.
Because that's where
cool.
they use a lot of them at out there on the East Coast. But,
okay.
Anybody
out there is looking for a boat.
Right there at Inland Marine in Au Gray. Talk to Mike Horton. And we'll haul it anywhere for you.
There you go.
Because I've got guys up here and down in Miami that haul our boat and our pontoon back and forth for us.
Oh, yeah. So,
down in Florida now, you cannot get insurance in the state of Florida for a boat for hurricane coverage, period, from anybody.
Wow.
After the Fort Myers fiasco, and I totally get it. I understand. Why would you leave your boat in harm's way when you know a hurricane's coming? You're going to lose it.
Yeah.
You know, and finally the insurance companies got smart and said, no more.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to do this.
They dumped too much money after that. They were like, they just want a new boat. That's what they want.
Yeah. So did you bring the pontoon boat up here then?
Yes, pontoons here, and so is the Cobia, both of them.
I love that pontoon boat, man. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. That was real nice.
The picture of it looked very nice.
Oh, yeah, it's nice real pontoon. Nice. And they've got M&M on it, Marty and Mona.
It's cool.
So cute. It's
the
cool.
M&M,
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, we enjoy that. So it's really smooth riding with those 29-inch tubes on it.
Oh, so, I bet. Oh, yeah, I'd love
You'd like the motor. It's got a 425 Yamaha on it for a pontoon.
Oh, no kidding.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
It moves like a tri-tune,
doesn't it? Several water skiers behind it.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Get you where you want to go.
Exactly.
Quick. Yeah.
That's right. Real quick.
Who needs a jet boat?
As long as the tide's in.
Then, right. Well, that's the thing. He should have just kicked up the motors. He just wanted to make you guys work.
That's right. I needed the exercise. Yeah.
He's like, we haven't put those poles into work yet. I'll just slow her down.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, is it about that time?
I think it might be about that time.
Last call, da ding, 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 da ding.
Last call for alcohol. Oh.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol. Get going.
Oh, yeah. We got to get Roger Beer for last call.
You just got the tall boy, and then you got to.
Okay. So, do you want to start, or do you want me to, Spencer?
Go ahead, Eddie.
Okay. My last call is down in Key West. It was the second night we were there. We went and saw. Ooh, good crack. Went and saw a Foreigner concert.
She tells me all the time.
Yes.
Down there. That was amazing. It was it was beautiful outside. You could see a storm kind of rolling in off the ocean, but you know, it wasn't too bad and it was beautiful. We had great seats. They had nice beer there, and then we're rocking out, we're having a great time. And holy cow, that storm came in fast, and it got cold. And by cold, I mean 70 degrees. So so we were doing fine. But I tell you what, that booth sold out of hoodies faster than you can blink an eye. It was pretty wild watching. You could tell who was from up north by anybody still wearing their shorts and T-shirt. It was a lot of fun. But
that was a great concert. What a band. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were phenomenal. Yeah. It was absolutely. It was so much
fun.
That
was their first and last Southernmost concert.
Yeah. Yeah, that was because it's their farewell tour. They were even talking, thanking everybody. But it was a lot of fun. And we before we went to the concert, we went to the
down by the Schooner Wharf Bar. We were next to it.
Nice.
Yeah, they had great food. That was a real neat place. And next to it in the marina was the Appledore.
The
absolute.
He texted me and he was like, "The Appledore's here," and I'm like, "No shit."
Yeah, I was like, "Man, we come from Bay City, and the boat came with us. It was they followed us down."
You know, and it's funny because I went across the bridge the next day, and motherfucker, that shit wasn't there.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Yeah, I know where it is."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
I even looked at Robin. I was like, "Why isn't that boat there?" And she was like, "The Appledore." I don't know. And I was like, "Because Eddie's next to it, and they're down at Key West." And she was like, "That's fucking crazy." I know.
It was real neat. It was a lot of fun.
Look at the money you could have saved if you just rolled that down there.
I know, right? Yeah, I mean, it would have taken a couple months, but hey, you know.
Yeah, the hammocks at the bottom for sleeping—they're fine. You know, they got hammocks for the beds in the bottom there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a fantastic, and that's only one day of the trip, but that was an absolute very good last call right there.
Well, glad you enjoyed it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
He talked about it a lot. He cannot wait to get back down there. That's for sure.
Well, I can't wait until you and Mona get to come down and we'll barbecue up and hang out by the pool and you'll get to see Roger's Pub down here. This beautiful bar that Roger built. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
What do you got? What do you got, Spencer? Last call.
Oh, me goes back to a fishing story up at Mayo Pond. It is the Mayo Pond gets dammed that flows into the Saba River. So this was our first time kind of discovering it. It was me, Hayden, and John. And we were just kind of like, holy shit, you know, Mayo Pond. Like, we got kicked out of Rifle River because it was sold out. Not a camping spot available. So we're like, okay, let's go over this way. And that's when I was telling Nicole and Matt last podcast, I was like, Atlanta? Jesus Christ, you know, where did we make a wrong turn, you know? Like, because it's at, like, Atlanta 36 miles, and then Mayo is, you know, so far. So we pulled into this thing, and, you know, we had our fun during the day, and we're like, let's get out in the kayaks and do some fishing. Well, it started raining, and I said something that holds near and dear to me and John and Hayden's heart, and I was like, you're kidding me. It's raining. You're kidding me. You know, blah, blah, blah. So we always do the you're kidding me story. And there was one time I was fishing in this. I had the topwater frog. I'm a big topwater guy. Love my topwater lures, you know. Chuck it in any brush or anything. You're not getting hooked up. I hate getting snagged. Hate it, you know. I don't want to catch sea bass, you know. the seaweed, you know, sea bass, yeah. I don't want to catch that shit. So I love my topwater, so I'm chucking it in there. And John, I look to the left, and John's right by me, and he swoof with lure. I shit you not, that thing crossed 6 inches from my face and went in this little hole right down there.
sunk it in there, and I looked at him. I was like, "You kidding me?" I was like, "Are you joking?" That crossed like 6 inches from my face.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't say proper hammered, but I'm hammered enough to realize that it didn't scare me at the time. But after it landed, I was like, "Oh." You know what I'm saying?
Delayed response.
The delayed reaction. Like I saw it, and I was like, oh. And I was like, I could have been dead. He could have decapitated me right there. But anyway, long story short, my fucking lure's right there, too, and he catches the fish.
Oh, Jay.
So then it was like a double. You're kidding me. You know what I mean? It's like,
he snaked
it's
your
like,
fish.
Yeah, yeah. Not only did that lure almost decapitate me, but then... That was mine.
Yeah.
No, it was a great time. We love Mayo Pond. That is a forever us spot.
Yeah.
You know us guys, every time. We'll take the gals there and every once in a while, but that's the boy spot. So
nice.
That's my last call story. It's like, get up there, get some fishing in. Great fishing at Mayo Pond. Just don't eat it. Don't eat the fish. No. Catch and release strictly.
Okay.
Yeah. Catch and release strictly.
Dad, Roger?
What about you? Last call? No last call.
You don't
call.
Have a last call this time? Okay.
All right. Marty, do you got
Marty,
a last
do
call
you have
story?
A last call story? Funny drinking story?
A funny drinking story. I guess that would be watching you and Jason after you drank too much and you couldn't pull a fish in.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
What happened there?
Now the truth comes out.
Yeah. So I that's mean, we why were, you got skunked, huh?
We were, I mean, we were sober that day. I'm just a little weakling. That's why I was fighting a shark. I couldn't get it in.
So what? Walk us through that, Mark.
7-inch shark that you pulled in.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They hooked onto a little tiny old shark, and he couldn't get it to the boat.
Yeah.
The thing was only maybe 4 feet long. You know, a 5-year-old could have brought it in.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just called your ass out.
And then the best part is, the fact that Chrissy, Jason's fiance. She steps right up there and yanks one of them suckers right in.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. Hers was like 5 foot, 80 pounds, this crazy big fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is she had all that fucking like teacher anger. She was like, these kids are stupid nowadays. Yeah.
She's just taking it out on the man.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Well, it's been great talking to you guys. Yeah.
Thank you for spending time with us.
And- Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we'll get together this summer.
Yep, can't wait to see you down here, and I can't wait to have some more fun talks with you.
Yeah, for sure. You have a lot of great stories. So check us out at 989.network, Basement Bar, bbbbabble.com, and as Ernest Hemingway always said, always do sober what you said you'd do drunk.
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, Marty.
Did you enjoy this episode? Then check out more at 99.network, Mid-Michigan's premier podcast network.